Thank you, and good morning. First of all, I am not David Wright. David Wright is 65 years old and male, and I'm not quite that. My name is Shija George, and I'm representing David, who couldn't make it to the meetings. But I'm always excited to talk about the farming system that we've been working with for over 15 years now. Throughout the theme of all the talks that we have, be it the Western United States or the Southeastern United States or the Midwest, we see a common thread of two or three set principles, one being the use of perennial grass, increase that underground root biomass. Another is cover cropping, and the third is integrating row crops and livestock. So this typically fits into those three common principles, irrespective of what region we are talking about. In the southeastern United States, conservation tillage is kind of a widely accepted practice, and it took its time, but it's widely being practiced by everybody. But the sod-based crop rotation, which is a perennial grass-based rotation, is what we consider the next step in conservation tillage for enhanced crop productivity without compromising soil health. That is always very important. So what we refer to as the sod-based rotation is 2 years of a perennial bahia grass, followed by peanut and cotton. The scheme that you see on the left, we use oats as a winter cover crop. That's the typical four-year sod-based rotation. But what is typically practiced in the southeast is the conventional rotation that you see on the right, is peanut with 2 years of cotton. Well, we do cover cropping in our system, at our research plots, but typically that may or may not be the case. And another system that we have is the sod-based rotation, where we've integrated livestock into the system. And we have grazed and non-grazed treatments where we are comparing the effects of grazing on crop productivity and soil health. So you see those cages there that keeps the cattle out. So it seems like we have all those three principles very well integrated. And I want to list some of the effects that we have seen in the last, we are in the 15th year of our research, and this has been a tri-state effort, Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. Crop productivity, improved crop and cover crop yield, increased organic matter. There's increased below ground biomass because of all that perennial grass. Up to 2/3 of the total biomass is below ground as against above ground. There's reduced disease and weed pressure, larger earthworm population resulting in greater water infiltration. We've looked at nutrient cycling enzyme activity, carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur cycling enzymes, and we have found greater activities of these enzymes, greater proportion of arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, a greater fungal to bacterial ratio, and overall, owing to all these, there's a 2 to 7 times more profitability coming from crop productivity and low inputs of fertilizer, water, and pesticides. Now, why this is important and why I'm in a soil and water conservation talk is because I want to link the sod-based rotation and its potential to reduce agricultural water use. And in our region, for those of you from the southeast, you know about the famous tri-state water war. And it all starts in the, it all begins and ends in the APF Basin, which starts in the north, in North Georgia at Lake Lanier, and it meets the Gulf of Mexico at the Apalachicola Bay in Florida. So the ACF River Basin is a 19,300 square mile watershed. It's shared by Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, and Apalachicola River and its tributaries are the Chattahoochee, that's what the C is, and the F, that's the Flint River. The primary uses are municipal and industrial use, and up in the Metro Atlanta area, which the excessive use of water in that area is kind of has effects downstream, where there's a lot of irrigated agricultural acreages, and excessive periods of drought and climate change impacts have impacted surface and groundwater use in this basin. And that leads to downstream ecological impacts due to this water overuse up in the Metro Atlanta region. Most of the ag water use in the southeast U.S. is to irrigate all the cotton and peanut and corn. It's about 1.9 million acres of irrigated land. And we see the sod-based rotation as a perfect opportunity to be implemented in this region due to its great potential for water savings. What we have seen in our data, if you look at this graph, we're comparing what is typically practiced in the southeast, which is irrigated cotton peanut rotation indicated by the red and blue lines. And the gray line indicates the non-irrigated sod-based rotation. Really, you see those lines, there is hardly any difference in the productivity. This is data from all the way from 2002 through 2013. There is no significant difference in yield in irrigated conventional rotations and non-irrigated sod-based rotation. In fact, at most of the places, most of the years, you see a slight increase in yield of cotton in the non-irrigated sod-based rotation. There are some dips you see which correspond to the dry years in 2007 and 2010, which probably all of you have experienced at some point or the other during your research. This is a similar trend for peanut in the irrigated conventional rotation indicated by the red line and the gray line. Again, you see those certain dips, here in the dry years, but otherwise, overall, peanut yields in the non-irrigated sod-based rotation pretty much out-yielding the conventional rotation, which means that all this water that is not being used and you're making those yields is water saved, typically. And so another thing that we measured to kind of correlate this yield was root mass, because what's going on below ground. And this was done by just doing soil cores up to a meter deep and washing roots and getting a root biomass. And if you look all the way from the 0 to 15 centimeter soil depth down to the meter depth, you see a sod-based rotation, the non-irrigated having a greater amount of root biomass. And I added the conventional non-irrigated too, because it's really not fair to compare a non-irrigated your root mass in a non-irrigated system with an irrigated system. So I threw that in. Even if you were to just compare the two non-irrigated ones, or the non-irrigated and the irrigated, you see how the root biomass is playing higher, greater in the sod-based rotation. And this we think plays a great role in water use efficiency. Similar trends in peanut, and really significantly greater in the non-irrigated sod-based. So we decided to go ahead and quantify these water savings due to SPR and what it means to the farmer in the southeast region. Water saved is money saved, and we wanted to put real numbers to these, and for that we used the water footprint calculator in the AgroClimate, which is part of the Southeast Climate Consortium, and they have a booth down in the exhibit hall, if you have seen it probably. It's a very user-friendly tool which allows the user to select the region that they're in, insert planting and harvest dates, the soil type, which is really not a big range, but it really differentiates between sand, silt, and clay. Then you can input your rooting depth, which is 60, 120, 180 centimeters, so you have three rooting depths, three organic matter levels, the kind of tillage that you're using, the irrigation, any other management practices that we're using. And the tool accounts for weather data, and so it differentiates the water consumed from irrigation and the water consumed from rainfall. And it takes into account evapotranspiration, leaf area index, etc., before running a crop growth and a hydrology model. So what we did was we ran the water footprint tool on historical data for about 34 years, all the way from 1980 through 2013, over a range of soil and management conditions. This was the simulated irrigation demand over those 34 years for cotton and peanut. The water that was simulated in the model, due to what, when would a farmer typically irrigate? I mean, keeping it at 50% water available capacity, and this was the water used, or this would be the potential water used. So basically, if you recall all the previous steps, previous graphs, and the previous slides, all this water not used in the sod-based rotation is the water that is saved in a cotton peanut rotation with perennial grass incorporated into it. So this is a graph showing on the left-hand side the expected annual potential water savings from sod-based rotation based on the graph that you saw just before this. And this is data from 6 rainfall stations throughout the Apalachicola, Chattahoochee, Flint River Basin in the 34-year period. And below that, you see the potential water savings in the different soil types if there was a 10% chance of drought. And that you see those numbers almost double when you look at the water savings due to the resilience of the sod-based rotation in a drought situation. And so water saved is money saved, just estimated irrigation operational cost savings from implementing sod-based rotation, assuming that the water is being pumped at a depth of 70 feet, whatever the current fuel costs are, etc. Again, those savings increase in a 10% chance drought situation. So just to summarize, ag water savings, everybody in this room would agree it's an important issue to address. No matter what region of the United States you are, we are concerned about the ACF water basin particularly. Sod-based rotation incorporates perennial grass for up to 2 years, and I call it perennial grass. We use Bahia grass, but to generalize, it could be anything that is deep-rooted, any perennial grass for up to 2 years into a row crop rotation scheme. It has major benefits on crop productivity and soil health. Cover cropping in the winter and integrating cattle into the system will further enhance the system. And we have quantified the water savings afforded by SVR, and field data from all the yield data that I showed you earlier and modeling data kind of correlate well in terms of how the crop was productive even in the absence of any irrigation. Crop yield in non-irrigated SVR is comparable to conventional irrigated rotation, and most of the times it always was greater than conventional rotation. And so in summary, from the historical data it shows and from predicted data of having more of these drought periods, if we can expect more of these drought periods due to climate change, in the context of climate change, it shows that crop yield in non-irrigated sod-based rotation will not be compromised in low rainfall areas. Enhanced root biomass, we believe, is one of the main reasons that because we have data showing how the following crop, following cotton or following peanut, can follow those root channels left behind by the perennial grass. And that is a very important feature of the sod-based rotation and plays a great important role in water savings. 5 to 10 inches of potential water savings, and this is doubled in a chance of drought, and that relates to about an $8,000 to $16,000 savings on a typical 80 hectare farm, again depending on soil type. And these savings should be a direct incentive to producers to consider adoption. And of course, these benefits go beyond the farm. If you look at the ecological considerations downstream of the ACF basin, anybody who likes to enjoy the oysters from Apalachicola, that business is going to almost shut down because of downstream water unavailability. To conclude, these are some useful resources. The sod-based rotation website from the North Florida Research and Education Center and the AgroClimate Water Footprint Tool, if anybody were interested. And with that, I conclude. Thank you.